Ted, Denis Villeneuve's new Dune movie is out.
Yes.
It's so funny, the number of people who are like, I mean, Marvin, basically, who are like, I don't get Dune. It's too complicated.
Oh, God, it's so simple.
I don't know. Should we? I just kind of want to break it down.
Sure. So Marvin and any of our other beautiful, loveliest listeners who have been confused by the current movie, we will explain it to you now so you can understand how simple it is.
So John Dunofsky, or his friends call him Dune, is a mild-mannered office worker who works way up on the 45th floor of a midtown office building.
Now, Dune clocks in and out of his everyday office job. Bing bong, up the elevator, down, swiping his little name tag and watch that company clock click down to retirement.
When he's not working in the office, John Dune is hard at work in his garden, where he's struggling with these darned worms that are constantly eating his plants. Surely there's got to be more to life than this, he asks himself.
There is, and it lives in his mind. In this man's mind,
he creates an imaginarium of unthinkable wonders. And sometimes he can't help but write these stories out, and he shares them with a very friendly secretary named Zendaya. But one day, his imaginary scribblings accidentally find their way into the boss's office. The mean, miserly, bulbous CEO, a Mr. Pete Harkonnen. Dune, he calls from his giant marble desk. I'm not paying you to create fantasy worlds. I'm paying you to get the stock price up.
That night, bedraggled and eating a TV dinner, Dune falls asleep into his mush, only to wake up
in the world of Dune.
Far away, Dune, far away I go, across the sand where the sandworms flow. I shall beat my boss, Mr. Harkonnen, and then I will have a friend called Zendaya.
I don't understand what happens after he gets to the sand planet.
No, it kind of leaves out a lot of that stuff.
But if I crossed my eyes and just sort of relaxed my mind, it did make an intuitive sense to me.
A lot more sense, yes.
It is about a wars of different dads, basically.
Yeah.
And actually, a hot take here. A lot of people say, oh, Baron Harkonnen, obviously a dad. You know, he's lazy, can't move. He looks like a big baby. Look at that daddy head.
Yeah.
But as a dad who has seen the movie, he's an uncle.
Yes.
We know because he allies himself with a son, a.k.a.
Austin Butler, who looks a lot like Darby. And it's those supple lips and the way he sort of glares.
And moves like him.
Yeah, indeed.
And now you might say that, well, then who's the dad? Well, I think we made it pretty clear. Timothy Chalamet is the dad.
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet.
Because the whole movie, he says, I'm not going to do something, and then he just does it when he feels like it.
Indeed.
No, the Emperor is a dad.
The Emperor is definitely a dad, being controlled by a group of, well, mummies. Let's just face it. The Bene Gesserit are mummies.
I'm not saying that. That's the movie.
They've got a big Joanne's Fabric vibe.
Oh, there's a lot of fabrics.
They tell you to put your hand in the pain box, aka the divorce papers.
The worms are dads because the sons like to ride them.
And Zendaya is a dad because only a connection between dads could be that strong.
I'll tell you one problem I had with the movie Dune 2 More Dunes is, Ted, that there's no rap at the end that describes the plot.
Yeah, that would have been useful. It was all a dream.
John Dune fell asleep.
Now we're back to the start of the act, and next he's gonna come for his boss. The bad Baron Harkonnen is at a loss.
Yeah, I could hear D12 reuniting to do that. Should we start the show?
Let's start the show.
Hello. Welcome to Tep Talk, your number one source for tep news information and gossip. I am one of your hosts, Tep Genius Level 2. I'm back up, podcast co-host, journalist, father, respected community leader, guitarist and also sometimes singer of the band The Billionaires, co-host of the upcoming Tepslafest Festival, and an elf, and Castle Fortifier, Tep Tim! That's me, I'm Tep Tim.
Indeed, and sliding into the other corner in a supple and sensual way is Tep Ted Necromancer, Level 9, Guardian of the Fourth Realm, and Skull Throne Owner.
Ted, that Skull Throne It's turned out beautifully.
Thank you.
My concern was just with the plastic skulls, if they would hold your weight, but they absolutely, I mean, with enough rebar and glue.
Yeah, well, I think all the Santa hats that are glued to them and the beards, it should sort of mesh it all together, like a throne of Santa skulls.
Yeah, and Ted, I know you didn't mean it this way, but it is a little tasteless.
Well, I just figured if we're going to be repelling waves of elves and then I think eventually final boss Santas, I want to sit on the ramparts on a skull throne to taunt them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I understand. It's very clear. Look, the structural integrity of the Santa head throne is impressive. It's a beautiful throne, objectively.
Thank you.
I mean, just setting aside the context of it, I think that, you know, whatever the opposite of de-escalation is, it might be one of those things for the Santa war. I'm just looking, we know this, a little bit of a relationship corner here, folks. And we're going to get to the tep here in a second, by the way.
Yeah.
Our colleagues over at MacRumors put out an article, iPhone 14 versus iPhone 16, 30 upgrades to expect. We're going to be running through all of those.
That's going to be so fun.
But I actually am glad this came up, Ted, before we get to the tep, because I think that what we're going through with the Santa community is something that is relatable to a lot of dads out there.
Right. The friend of friend situation.
Right. Sometimes you have a great friend and you really click, and then they've got this other friend, and it can be hard. Like, so for instance, Darby, good friend of ours.
Great guy. Very SUL.
But his friend Peter?
Peter sucks.
Vile.
He's a vile man.
And I don't like him sticking his nose in our business.
Yeah. Grady? Great guy.
Oh, love Grady.
Lucian?
Don't like Lucian.
Need to get away from him.
And I don't care if he's a baby. He's got the face of a man, so I'm going to treat him like a man.
Yeah, and the fingers of an old man.
Yeah.
And sort of the arms, I guess, of an old man, too.
I've never seen his legs, come to think of it. He's always under a blanket.
Yeah, we don't know. So baby torso, baby head.
Baby size, baby scale.
Old man face, old man arms, from shoulder down to fingertip.
Under the blanket? Anyone's guess.
Anyone's guess.
Or Marvin's friend, who he, remember for a while there, Marvin was like, can my friend sort of be involved in our community? And we just said no.
No.
And he said, don't you want to meet him? And we said no.
Definitely not.
And he said, well, can I keep seeing him? And we said no. And
no.
He hasn't seen Henry since then.
Yeah.
Randy, love him.
Great guy. Definitely one of our best friends.
But his family hate him. He doesn't need him. All he needs is us.
Yeah, the Ramirez is...
Talk about sticking your nose in.
Annoying.
If Randy asking us to leave him alone wasn't going to stop us from being his friend, then why on earth would you think that his family sending that joint letter would? No, obviously not.
I mean, I just think it all stems from the Ramirez quinceañera.
Yeah, I feel bad, a little bit bad about that.
I feel a little bit bad.
What I'm getting at here in this little very special relationship corner is you and I, can I just, is it okay if we air our dirty L a little bit here?
Let's get it out. Let's flap it around.
We should do a good old-fashioned dirty laundry corner. Dirty laundry sound effect!
Get it out. That stinks.
Now, we say dirty laundry corner, and you probably think like, oh, you mean the fact that Marvin still sleeps with a personal blanket?
Well, the fact that Darby has those magazines in his bedside drawer.
Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty, Darby.
No, that's not the kind of dirty laundry we're talking about, because here's the thing. It's easy to go through other people's laundry and smell it.
That's confirmed.
What's harder
is the truth.
To do it to yourselves. And Ted, we are going into a very important part of our life right now. We have so many irons in the F. We got Tepsla Fest. We got the podcast. We've got the Father's Way. And so I think it could be a good opportunity for us to just dump out all our laundry, see what stinks, see what still has a couple good wares left in it.
I got the bottle of bleach ready. I'm ready to pour it all over.
I'll start. Here's a stinky little shirt. I don't think that you really like my forever Santa friends.
No.
I tried to write it off as just you not knowing each other so much, or, you know, I assumed for a long time that you were just jealous. But I think, Ted, for the good of both of us, I think we can come right out and say it. And you know what I can say? I can say right now, I haven't always thought that your dad was good enough for you.
Yeah, okay. So I'm hearing you say my dad abandoned me again.
I'm saying that at times I've been skeptical of him.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't let on about that. But if I'm being honest, if I'm sniffing the shirt, it stinks. This shirt needs to be washed. And this shirt is called I Haven't Always Seen Eye to Eye with Your Dad Regarding His Treatment of You.
Yeah. Can you play the honesty sound effect?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, go, there you go.
What's this dirty pair of underwear? This is called I fucking hate the Forever Christmas community. They've ruined your life. I want them to go away forever. And I'm building a tower so that when they come at me, I can destroy them into a million pieces from my blood throne of Santa skulls.
Wow. Okay. That is...
It feels better, actually, to just have it out there.
It feels... You know? It's like when you get the wind knocked out of you. It hurts, but it feels good at the same time. I'm glad we're doing this. And, oh, hold on. Wait a minute. Sorry. I did just find a little stinky sock here in the laundry pile. Ooh! This sock smells like... I don't like Kyle's music. I don't like when Kyle plays guitar and sings. It sucks.
Hand me that sock.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurt anyone here.
I said hand me that sock.
Here you go. Here, take it.
Okay, I'm going to take a whiff. Ready? It stinks.
The guitar playing?
It's hard to admit.
I mean, here's the thing. John Mayer is obviously an amazing musician, but when Kyle plays those songs, they don't sound very good.
No.
John Mayer is a slow guitar player, but he's not that slow.
Yeah, okay. It stings a little to hear it. But I gotta admit, the sock stinks.
Oh, here's the matching sock for that one, actually. This one says that Kyle's podcast isn't very good.
Let me sniff it. Oh, come on now. That's not too bad.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the worst smelling sock I've ever smelled in the world. I'm just saying it's a little ripe.
Yeah, but grind said, I mean, you gotta grind.
No, I'm not saying that Kyle's podcast isn't, I mean, it's good because he's good on it. I'm just saying, like, his podcast, like the Business CEO's 101 grind book or whatever it's called, like, I did think a little bit about some of his advice, and a lot of it is not very smart.
Interesting.
Like, fellas, if you want to make that money, it all starts with a good idea. And the first time I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, I never thought about it that way.
Really,
that's
true.
So true.
It does,
and then I thought about it for a second and a half longer, and I realized that didn't say anything at all.
Fellas, if you want to build your future, the first step is you have to invest. And, you know, when I first heard that, I was like, game changer.
You're like,
what
yes!
does that mean?
Yes, yeah. Tell me more. And then there is no more.
Well, there's an ad for his friend's investment firm after that.
Well, right, yeah.
Fine, I'll admit it does stink a little bit.
Yeah, just a little. You can wear it a few more times, but then wash it.
There is one thing I haven't washed in a while.
Okay, most everything else smells pretty good to me, but go on.
Yeah, well, it's a shirt you're wearing.
Not this? I haven't moved at all. Why would this shirt smell?
Exactly. The shirt is called Grace is Never Coming Back. You need to take it off.
You
literally have been wearing this for years. It's disgusting.
This shirt, here's the thing though, Ted. I haven't done anything in this shirt, and so it doesn't smell. Like, in order for a shirt to smell, you have to sweat, and I haven't sweat because I haven't,
you haven't
done anything.
Right? It's just getting a bit musty,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, it's just a little bit comfortable is the thing, and so I wear it all the time because it's like my
take
favorite shirt. No, I'm not going to take it. That's not in the laundry
take
pile.
It off.
That's not in the laundry
do
pile
because
I'm still wearing
it.
It's not,
it.
Not in the laundry.
Take it off.
I'm still wearing it.
Take it off.
I'm still wearing
take
it because it's still good.
Take it off.
I'll die in this shirt. I'll die in this shirt.
Mac rumor.
iPhone 16, the 30 upgrade to expect between iPhone 14 and iPhone 16.
Woo-hoo.
Ted, I'm so excited to dive in.
Yeah, can't wait to talk about this.
Number one, they say, is the design. They expect the design change.
What?
Oh, okay.
So, Essie, can you imagine what it will be? I can't.
No, I can't. Next is, oh wait, Ted, Father's Way.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. We're going to get back to this in a second here, folks. We got 29 more changes coming up. We're going to be counting them down and ranking them. But first, Father's Way.
That's right. Dearest listener, you will remember that we have been working our way through my patented 12-step system, The Father's Way, that I definitely made up myself, involving writing your breakfast pages every day, 3 pages, and
yep.
taking yourself on your father's date. And then every week, we have a new theme on which to focus. Week 1.
Recovering your father's self.
Week 2.
Write down all your grudges.
Week 3.
Barricade, which we combined because we had 2 weeks that were, we took a week off, unfortunately.
Yeah, we built Helm's Deep
at
my house, yep.
Yep, we built Helm's Deep. And
week 4.
Ruminate.
Indeed, last week's challenge.
Now, before we get to week 5, Ted, one thing I think so important about Father's Way is keeping each other honest, because the thing is, it's so easy to lie to others and to yourself.
For years and years.
Forever, yeah. So I think, Ted, what I like to do is just do our check-in and just keep each other honest. So let's start with our Father's date this week. Ted, what did you do for your Father's date this week?
Oh, I had a wonderful Father's date this week. I took myself to a little museum because I needed to just, I needed to reconnect with my father's side, you know? So I took all of Marvin's action figures from episode one and I put them in a box and then I imagined I was walking through it like it was a museum to episode one.
Right. So you made a museum in the box.
I made a museum in a box.
Right. When filled it with Marvin's action figures.
Yep.
Great.
What did you do?
Well, mine wasn't quite as exciting as all that. For my father's date, I decided to do a little bit of a scout mission back to the parking lot.
Oh, great. I mean, we are going to be running Petesla Fest there pretty soon, so we're going to need to get our hooks back in that place.
Ted, that's the sound of someone who has been through my dirty drawers because you read my mind. Because, you know, as listeners know, the Petco parking lot was originally where we were going to have Tepsla Fest, our father's only giant, biggest music festival of all time. Like Woodstock 99, but like...
Petesla themed.
Tesla's only...
With medieval latrine and the pianist boy.
Oh, it's also a medieval festival, yeah.
A main stage for...
Huge acts.
Huge acts like...
Uffy. Robbie Williams, hopefully.
What's left of Queen.
I think we can get Roger Taylor, but he'll just drum.
That's fine.
I'd love to get the boys from Styx.
Yeah, well, I think we should reunite Yes.
REO Speedwagon's touring.
Rush.
Oh, but you know what, though? If we get REO Speedwagon, I actually know that they're touring right now with Train, and we're already going to be playing Drops of Jupiter in our band.
Yeah, so maybe we
so
can't
that's
do
no
that.
Good. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Because you can't go to the concert and have two people play Drops of Jupiter.
No, you can't. You just can't.
It's so stupid. Imagine Train plays Drops of Jupiter during the 11 a.m. slot, and then we are doing our headlining show, and we do Drops of Jupiter. It would make Train look so stupid.
That would look so bad.
Well, yeah, obviously, folks, we, the billionaires, me, Ted, and technically Darby and Marvin, are going to be headlining the show.
Yes, naturally. That's a very crucial key part of the whole thing. We will have our band back together.
For the first time?
For the first time. I don't think we need too much rehearsal.
No. The rehearsal part I'm less worried about. I think if we can just get Darby to agree that we are a band, that's going to be a lot of the work done.
Yeah, I agree, but I think that's imminent. You know, that's only a matter of time.
He's close. He's close. Yeah. I mean, Operation Uptown Funk, smash success.
Absolutely. Marvin's down.
Marvin's piggy little eyes
lit up.
He started crying.
Yeah.
The way he was just like, you do listen to me. You do listen to me. I know so much about you, and sometimes it feels like you don't know about me at all. And I was like, Marvin, we know way too much about you.
We knew way too much.
And so we got Marvin locked in.
And he started playing the horn section on his Nord.
And Ted, I think having Marvin in our corner is great, but I think we still do face the problem of getting Darby on board. Because here's the thing. Unlike anyone else on Earth, getting to dress like Steve Jobs is not a selling point for him because he thinks it's going to make us, quote, pervy and weird. And he doesn't want to play Uptown Funk.
Well, he doesn't want to play with us at all. Let's be real.
Well, exactly. That's the deeper problem. So I think, Ted, we got to sweeten the pot a little bit.
All right. We try your way first. We sweeten the pie first. If he doesn't eat that sweet pie in his beautiful Austin Butler lips by a month's time, then we're going my method, okay? And no one's going to like that.
You just want to tie him up and force him?
I mean, my method involves a bit of a curse and then some coercion and a lot of money.
Right, but here's the problem is, remember how he said that like no amount of money is worth sacrificing his values?
I mean, Darby's job pays for his grad school right now.
Yeah.
And he cares about that way more than his job. So if he loses his job, he's going to be in desperate need for that grad school cash. Anyway,
yes.
I don't want to get... We're going to try your method first,
okay?
Because I don't want to do this to myself or Darby.
Okay, so let's just say, if my method doesn't work, then we will sabotage his job, rendering him destitute, and then force him to take your money in order to pay for grad school and live out his last promise to his mom or whatever, blah, 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 in exchange for playing the billionaires. I'm all in on that. I think it's fine. And I think getting him to lose his job would not be hard because every time we go to see him at his job, his boss seems really PO'd.
Indeed. That's plan B, though.
That's a good backup, but play ball with me for a second. Here's what I'm thinking for winning him over. We tickled Marvin's tummy with Uptown Funk.
Yes.
What I want to do, Ted, is show Darby, hey, Darby, we're not just using you. We appreciate you.
What does he even like? Well, he likes to dance.
He does like to dance.
He likes to run for mayor.
He likes to be banned from the Best Buy.
He likes to cry about his mom. Oh, what if we made a statue of his mom, Mamie Sullivan?
Ted, no. What if his mom visited him and told him how important it was to her? Because then he wouldn't be doing it because he had to. He would be doing it
for his mom. You know what? It's beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. A mother's love is a pure thing.
Yeah, it's such a gift to give someone else.
You know what, Ted? Hold on a minute. Wait. Sorry. Shout out the dirty laundry. These pants stink. What are we talking about here? Pretending to be his dead mom to convince him to be in a band? I mean, sort of playing on his trauma.
You sound like Mr. Potato Head. Yeah.
No, my point is, I think we've already done this.
It does sound like something we would have done.
I want to say we did it either for the election or that time that we wanted him to buy us tickets for the water park and our credit cards were both canceled.
Wet and Wild Weekend. Yeah.
Anyway, my point is Darby's mom is played out. But who else in Darby's family is Dee?
His dad.
Exactly.
His
daddy.
Well, we know he fears his dad.
Because remember we talked to him, we were like, Darby, what happened to your dad? He's like, I don't want to talk about it. And we're like, is he L or D? And he said, can you just please say the words? And we said, no. And then he said he died. And we said, where is he buried? And he said, why? And we said, well, we wanted to know what his tombstone looked like. And then we said, have you ever been to Jim Morrison's grave? And he said, what does that have to do with anything? And we said, I don't know, Darby, you're the one who brought it up. The point is, Darby is very cagey around his dad, which makes me think
there's power there.
And here's the thing, Ted. You're meant to play Darby's dad. You've seen that picture he has of him.
Yeah, it's the eyebrows.
It's the eyebrows.
I do have a powerful brow. Let's do it. I will suit up.
Easy to make you look like Darby's dad, because Darby has that box of his dad's clothes in his closet that he doesn't like to talk about or look at.
You pilfer that. Bring it back to the cabin here. I'll set up a sort of 1970s looking room.
You know what else? He also has some of his dad's books. Those could be good for you to research.
Okay, bring those over.
Now, Ted, I feel like the clothes are easy, the eyebrows are a given, the books. A lot of this is going to go a long way towards making you look like Darby's dad, but it's not going to get you inhabiting Darby's dad. Like, you really need to live in it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so wait. Who do we know spent a lot of time with Darby's dad?
Well, not Darby, because he always said that he felt very shut out of his dad's life.
His wife, Mamie Sullivan.
Mamie Sullivan!
We know they spent time together because of Darby's existence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know Mamie really well because of the experience, the fun experience we had of being her captives. So I think if you just remember Mamie Sullivan, that will help inform your performance of Darby's father.
Okay, so maybe I can get photos.
Or I could just be Mamie.
You are good at playing mother.
I am mother sometimes.
Tim, can you help me become Darby's dad by pretending to be Mamie Sullivan and living with me in a house?
Yes, of course. That I was like, there's a really obvious solution here looking us in the face, but I can't see it. That makes a lot of sense. I think this is the kind of stuff you can do when you clear your head of dirty laundry and you can think clearly for the first time. So
yeah.
I'm going to get Darby's dad's clothes. I'll get those books. I'll take a picture of any of his photos he has. And, you know, maybe I'll just plumb Darby a little bit for a little bit more info. Like, oh, Darby, have you seen Dune already? And by the way, what kind of things did your dad used to say to control you?
Do that.
Fantastic. So sorry, just in brief, my father's date, I went to the parking lot. I scoped it out to see how things were looking, and it is terrible there.
So your father's date was a bit of a reconnaissance double mission, yes?
It was, and I got a lot of good info, Ted.
Okay.
Kieran and his followers are kind of keeping to themselves in the Petco. They're fighting like crazy. They've just continued splintering, basically.
Right, okay.
They all hate each other now, and they're all reading the Bee and fighting about it, and it's a mess in there.
Dare I ask how the invaders?
Oh, the Santa community.
Yeah.
They're doing really well.
Do their skulls look like they could hold up the weight of a human?
They do.
Great.
You know, actually, Ted, I meant to tell you, it's kind of fun. You drove the Cybertruck into their wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only have they rebuilt the wall, but they've actually made, I thought it was kind of sweet, they've made a little tribute to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have like a lovely little man they made out of straw, I think. It's obviously you. He's got your head, he's got your clothes, and it says Ted written, sort of spray painted on the front.
Right.
That's just sort of, they hung it up, and they're burning it.
Right. Well, from my crown to their effigy, it's mutual.
Well, no such thing as bad press. It's nice just to be recognized.
Thanks, Santas. See you soon.
Oh, and Mike in the parking lot with the Tepslas and Pee-Pee, it is absolutely dire. There's no food, and it's really bad. It's really, it's horrible there. Pee-Pee has more or less locked himself in his tower, which is that outhouse that he kind of lives in. And the parking lot is extremely weak. He tried to introduce the X-Men to the Bible, and I think that the dads just were past the point of caring.
Right.
And I think that also, you know how the dads are. They're really annoying, pretty pedantic about details. He's like, Moses got up on top of the mountain and Professor X was there.
And he used Cerebro to hear the word of God and then tell Moses.
And they were like, well, but so he built Cerebro up on the mountain? And PP was like, well, yes, sure. And they were like, well, how did he get up there? He's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And PP was like, he flew. And they're like, well, which era of Professor X is this?
Right.
And PP was like, I hate all you dads.
That's a harsh truth. Yeah.
Yeah. So bad for PP, good for us, Ted, because that means the parking lot is very susceptible.
Ripe for disruption.
And Ted, I hope you won't mind. I was thinking, like, the parking lot's very weak, but they do still have numbers. And you and I are, we're not ones to get involved in the fray. I would say we're more like generals.
I'm just blowing the bugle.
You love to blow the bee, and I love to look at the big map and move the pieces around like 50 miles back from the front.
Yeah.
So I think the parking lot is ripe for taking it back, which is great for Tepslefest. We do absolutely need to wage a holy war on it.
Shout out Dune 2.
Well, it occurred to me, you know Carlton's kids, the group of middle-aged fathers he says he rescued from human trafficking? They have, I understand, been getting into some light militia work. And I know Carlton's looking for money because I know that the dads take up a lot of space. So maybe we throw Carlton a bee and say, hey, Carlton, you know, if you liberate the parking lot for us, then, you know, you can be the official security force for Tepslefest.
All right. But my one rule, if we fork over money for this, is super soakers and water guns only.
Yeah.
No Nerf. Those things hurt.
I know.
And no paintball.
We don't need to hurt anyone in the parking lot. We just need to reassert our control.
I think we just need to wet them with water bombs and super soakers, and they'll clear out.
And the thing is, Ted, the dads will follow anyone.
And we would be good rulers. Yes, okay, broker an arms deal between me and Carlton.
At first light, I'll ride to Big Boy Coffee and broker a meeting. I mean, I won't go at first light. I'll go later today.
Around 11.
Yeah. Or just, I might text him. I'll text him now. Hey, Carlton, it is Tim. Are your big grown boys ready to fight?
Put an American flag emoji.
Oh, yeah.
An eagle.
Eagle, American flag. Which one is the Benghazi emoji? Is it the crying, frowning?
I'll start buying water pistols.
This is a lot, Ted, because you also need to be, we need to carve out time to be Darby's parents in, like, productive role-playing.
I know.
We are going to need to focus, because at times we have lost a little bit of focus, and sometimes our plans do fall through the cracks a teeny bit.
Okay, well, this does bring me to this week's Father's Challenge. Week 5, fixate.
Oh, yes.
So you'll remember last week, we talked about ruminate. This week's challenge is the focusing in of the laser beam of rumination. Rumination, it's a buildup of energy. So the feedback loop, it's swirling around, and then turn it into a laser beam.
And you can turn that power on anything. Like Cyclops, X-Men and the Bible.
What we're trying to do is hyper-focus that beam into one scalding point. And that point has to be a truth. A statement, an action item, something that you, on your father's journey, can take on as a holy quest.
For instance, you might say, oh, I'm going crazy because I think I hear a dripping sound in the wall. And your wife says, don't you want to talk about what you walked in on me doing? And you're like, no, I keep hearing this dripping sound in the wall. It's driving me crazy. And just hearing the dripping sound, that's enough to drive a man insane. So what you can do is fixate that energy into a laser point that takes the form of, I'm going to rip the walls down and find the drip. Mm-hmm. And that's like a concrete outlet for what would otherwise be unsustainable pressure. And at the end of it, you feel great because you turned that overwhelming pressure into an actionable, focused idea.
Here's one. I'll do mine.
Oh, go ahead, Ted.
I'll do mine on air. So here's what I've been ruminating on. Shout out the laundry. My daddy has not come back from the fishing trip.
Yeah.
Kyle makes bad music, and he is also left without telling me where he's gone.
Yeah. Might be with your dad.
He's probably with my dad. They're having fun. They're having fun together without me. Together without me, they're having fun.
Here we go.
Together without me, they're having fun.
Watch
together
the master,
without
folks.
Me, they're having fun. Together they're without me, they're having fun.
Watch
together
the master.
Me, they're having fun. Together without me, they're having fun. Together without me, they're having fun. He comes to focus of the beam. Together without me, they're having fun. Together without me, they're having fun. Together without me, they're having fun. I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna have fun. I'm fun. I am fun. I am fun. I'm the fun one now. Woo! I'm the party boy. It's party time.
Wow, folks, did you see that?
Woo, woo, woo. Yeah.
Now, how do you feel, Ted? How do you feel?
I feel great. Crack out the balloons, crack out the tums. It's time to party down, because I'm the party boy.
Can I go now? I want to join you right there. You ready?
Your turn.
Okay,
your turn.
My turn. Okay, shout out my laundry. Taking a big whiff. Whoo, it stinks. It smells so bad. I'm not going to get my wife back. 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 Grace is not coming back. Grace isn't coming back. I'm not going to get my wife 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 back. Get my wife back at Tapsler Fest! Woo! Oh, yeah! That's it! That is it, Ted! It's been looking in front of me this whole time!
Great job!
If I do a good enough job at Tapsler Fest, dressed as Elon Musk with my giant inflatable A, then Grace is gonna take me back!
Sure. And I'm fun now.
Week's show, everybody!
I'll tell you what, Helm's Deep is gonna look a bit different when the Santas come. They're gonna be destroyed by me from my blood throne of Santa's crowns with a smile on their face because da-da-da-da-da-da-da do that conga. Then you can't control yourself any longer. Let the trebuchets come and blow the Santas into the mud because I'm the fun guy.
And Ted, you know, I think, like, it goes without saying, but, like, what if the Santas do come? I mean, we're talking squirt guns and water balloons and stuff, obviously.
Sure.
Hey, we're going to be back next week.
Next week, we'll be moving on to week 6 of The Father's Way.
Ching, ching, ching. Sword practice.
Because when you put a statement of laser-focused fixation into the world pushes back.
See you next week, folks.
Bye.
Now, Ted, what did Darby say his dad did? Was he a reporter?
I think maybe he was a reporter. Look here, Darby. It's me, your daddy.
Breaking news, Darby. You stink.
Darby, your mother and I have been talking about your weak ways.
Leave the boy alone, Harold.
The worst decision I ever made was meeting you.
I don't know why we're spending all that money to send you to that fancy school, Darby, when you can learn everything you need to know about life from your useless father.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Everyone look away.
Darby, why don't you invite that beautiful friend of yours over? Who's that hunky friend of yours? And then Darby's probably like, Mom, stop! He's like, oh, loosen up, Darby.
Darby, change yourself for Daddy.
God, I'm bored.